Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you, John?
I'm enjoying this glorious morning, a sun-filled ice planet Hoth after the storm. Oh, wait.
Yeah, just remember, Tauntauns, they smell worse on the inside. Yeah. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I have a session with the brain cleanser.
That's totally understandable. And if they bring out the little doll and say, where did they hurt you point and all that, it's totally understandable. Yeah. Brain cleanser, absolutely appropriate. Yeah. We might as well just hop into topics because I really don't want to elaborate on the brain cleanser thing. So there's a new security threat for the Mac that has been discovered, and it's called MAMI, M-A-M-I. So mommy, mammy, pronounce it as you wish. The thing is, it's a DNS.
It would be MAMI.
MAMI?
If you're going by grammatical.
Yeah, that's true. MAMI.
Yeah. It would not be MAMI.
Because we only have one M in the
three
middle.
M's.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, we're set, MAMI. And what it is a DNS hijacking security threat. And it does more than that. But basically, once your DNS server entries have been hijacked and replaced with something else, then whoever controls those DNS entries has the ability to control actually what you're seeing online, whether it's what you expect to see or something that's spoofed to look like what they want you to see. It's dangerous because now everything you're doing is potentially passing through someone else's server that's collecting all kinds of data, just everything it can slurp out of your web browser activity. So that in and of itself is bad, but it also gives attackers the ability to simulate mouse actions. So like clicking on things on your computer, upload and download files, and even take screenshots of from your Mac. So it's kind of a serious thing. And virus protection and malware detection apps aren't able to detect this yet. So I'm sure that will be coming soon, like in the next few days. But the malware companies, the malware protection companies are still working to figure out exactly how this works, how it gets delivered. So I figured we needed to let people know about this, and I've been doing a little bit of research on it. So if you guys have questions that you need answered, there's a possibility I might be able to give you a straight answer. And I'll start with what I'm assuming the first question is, which is, how do I know if this has happened to me? So what you would do is go into System Preferences on your Mac, go to the Network Preference pane, click the Advanced button, and then click the DNS tab, and you're looking for two specific entries. So the IP addresses that would be in that DNS section would be 82.163.143.135. Or 82.163.142.137. Don't worry about writing them down right now, unless you really want to. Then back up and make sure you've got them right. I'll have a link to my piece about this.
Wait, those are ones you don't want?
Those are ones you do not want.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you see either of those, then you've got a problem. But here's
the thing. Do we know what country these IP addresses are in?
I haven't bothered to look yet, but it wouldn't be too difficult to find out.
I have a better answer. Yet.
I see what you did there.
I don't actually know that for sure, but you know,
but we'll roll with it for now.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, even though we don't know exactly how this is getting delivered and what sort of payload it's using to make all this stuff happen. We do know that, at least for now, it appears that if you remove those DNS entries, then you're done, and they're not going to reappear. So that's reassuring. And so if by chance you see either of those IP addresses in your DNS listings, get rid of them. You're probably okay for now. And then as Apple updates Gatekeeper, and then whatever virus and malware protection utility you're using gets updated, then you'll probably be okay. But it's something to watch out for, because this is something that's being exploited right now. So do you guys have other questions for me about this?
Well, I remember reading briefly that you had to take some affirmative action for this malware to actually insert itself. So it's not something, if you take no action and don't enter a password or don't authorize some sort of pop-up, then, as I recall, you're okay. So one has to be careful about pop-ups on the screen that says, your computer's infected, click here to clean it, or a suspicious link in an email or something like that, where you go to some site and, yeah, well, and ask you for credentials.
That's good advice in general. If you're first, don't go to websites that you don't, that you're not sure you can trust. And then second, if you get pop-ups that tell you you have an infection or you need to install the new version of Flash, things like that, you don't click those, because they are very likely some sort of malware, and then let's see, what other pieces of advice should people follow for safe browsing habits?
Back up, actually. Okay. Explain again how someone could actually have done this to me.
Okay, so hypothetically, because we don't have all the details on how this spreads, but let's say you go to a website and it says, your version of Flash is out of date. Click here to update Flash. And it's just, yep, this pop-up that appears.
Yeah.
If you click that, it's very possible that what you're going to get is a malware download, yeah, instead of a Flash download.
Of course, it's actually likely that you're going to get a malware download.
Right. And or if you start getting pop-ups that say, your computer is infected, you have 10 minutes to click here to remove the infection, or all your data is lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that is most certainly not something to click on.
No, I see a lot of those, for instance, in dealing with all the Bitcoin faucets that I play around with. There's a lot of malware being thrown around on some of the advertising networks.
Sure.
So, like, I just looked in my true story. I just looked at my downloads folder. I have 14 Adobe Flash Player.dmg files in my downloads, because they sometimes get automatically downloaded. And of course, you never want to run those. First of all, we don't recommend that you install Flash, right? Right. Anyone here? Show of hands. Show of hands. You recommend that you put Flash on the system?
I'm not seeing any hands pop up.
All right, good. Nope. But if you are going to install Flash, do it from Adobe site.
Right. And know full well that your browser is going to try and block it from running anyhow.
Which is why we provide an authorized link in the articles we write. So check the TMO articles to get the correct link.
Right. Or better yet, just don't install Flash.
Right. Yeah. And my real point in mentioning all this is that this stuff is everywhere. Right, these attempts to get you to install this stuff is everywhere, and we have to be absolutely vigilant.
Yes. Oh, I have another bit of advice. When you get emails that appear to be spam and have links in them, don't click them. Or if it doesn't appear to be spam, but something just doesn't seem right about it, don't click any links. And
one I've seen frequently is the drugstore fish. Your account at CVS Pharmacy has come up as eligible for a $50 gift coupon. Click here to redeem. That'll take you down a path you don't want to go.
I've seen a lot of those for Amazon as well. And they're not coming from Amazon, where you've been selected to receive a $1,000 Amazon gift card sort of thing. Yeah. All right. So that's pretty much what we know right now. And just practice safe browsing and wait for Apple and what other malware companies you rely on to get their updates out. And we'll probably be okay.
What I want to know is how a piece of malware can change your DNS settings. That should be something pretty clamped down.
Well, if you're giving administrative access.
Yeah. Once you put in the installer, administrator password, then it's game on.
Then it's a trick to figure out where the request is coming from, the nature of the pop-up. And why your DNS?
Well, in this particular case, it would have been because you actually authenticated the download and then clicked on the download, or it directly authorized what you thought was something like a flash installation.
Yeah,
and so I mean, it's people were being tricked into authorizing this stuff to happen on their Macs.
This is why I want so much for Apple to put an artificial intelligence agent in my Mac OS to ride shotgun over my OS and watch everything.
You know what I'd like in the meanwhile, though?
What would you like, Brian?
I would like iMessage to support stickers on the Mac. Or, say, be able to record an emoji. Well, actually, we need the right cameras for that, or be able to browse emojis on an iMessage on the Mac. You know, it's like there's a whole bunch of things that I would like to see the Mac have that are like way in front of something as game changing and life changing as AI to actually watch over everything.
Yeah, I'd be happy to have text wrap around for images in Keynote again. Remember when that was part of the app and they took it out because you couldn't do it on iOS?
Yeah, that would be grand, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty grand.
So, John, like how long, I mean, like reasonably speaking, we're 10, 20 years from
something. I'm hoping it's more like 5.
I have to say, bless your little heart for thinking that. I would love to see something like that happen in 5 years, but I would be stunned if it happened that quickly.
And it would probably happen in iOS first.
Yeah, probably, because that's where Apple has everything really locked down and they have fewer variables.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's also where they put all their development efforts, it seems.
That too. Yeah.
That kind of depends on how those two OSs evolve.
Yes. And how Apple's artificial intelligence efforts evolve. So... yeah. There's something else that I want to talk about today too, which is CES. So I want to go back to CES today because neither of you were there. And all last week on Daily Observations, Dave Hamilton, John F. Braun, and I talked about what we were seeing, the trends that we were picking up on, the overall vibe of the show, and that was all from the perspective of people who were there. Neither of you were at CES, and I'm really curious what you guys are seeing as the trends and like the overall vibe of the show. I'm really curious what it looked like from someone on the outside.
Brian, you go first.
You want to go first? Or you want me to?
No, go ahead.
The first thing that stood out for me was how, everybody else seems to get how much I want to be able to talk to my house.
You know, that's funny because that was one of the big things that stood out for me too
And I saw so many in-out press releases coming over my desk because I was holding down the fort, as the saying goes.
And I saw thank so you many because we couldn't have done everything there without your support. So thank you.
Yeah, rock on. But I saw so many press releases crossing my desk for Alexa and Google Home products designed to allow me to talk to my house to control it instead of talking into my pocket.
Yeah, you know, previous years at CES, like when the iPad was coming out, but no one saw it yet, every booth that I went to, they talked about what they did, and it'll support iPad. And it was a product that didn't even exist yet. And that's kind of an ongoing trend at CES over the years. Companies would show off their new thing, and it supports whatever the Apple thing is that people are talking about that year. And this year, it was Alexa. And it was to the point where I felt like if I walked up to Alexa, stop. Apparently she's listening to me. If I walked up to, say, a home appliance maker, and they were selling a very simple toaster, I would expect them to say, and it has a lady support.
I mean, we did see some HomeKit products.
Oh, yeah. There were definitely HomeKit products.
There were definitely HomeKit products. But I saw a lot of products with either, you know, tie-ins to Alexa or even in some cases, Alexa built into them.
Yes.
Things that are designed to allow me to talk to the air to control my home instead of talking into my wrist or fetching my phone out of my pocket or whatever. And yes. And there was Google Home, and it was Alexa first and foremost, and it was Google Home second, but that's a pretty close second.
And from my perspective at the show, it wasn't even close, but Google was still second. So still, anyhow, yeah, I'm with you. Voice was huge at CES this year.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like the world gets that we want to talk to our homes. And by which I mean, Apple apparently does not get that. And I'm super cranky about it. And I've only become more cranky about it in the last few weeks as I've had more and more experience working with my HomeKit lights. Mm-hmm. And for instance, here's one of my favorite things right now is when I say to, and I'm going to turn my device upside down, Hey Siri, lights out, which would be my command for turning off. Okay, now it works. Most of the time, she thinks I'm saying "What's up," and now it just works. I mean, but Apple is just getting its butt handed to it in this space, and it is intensely annoying to me.
I am with you. I felt like Apple was left behind in that space this year at CES. Instead of being the overshadowing company that had a presence without having a presence.
Right. I did not get that feeling this year. Yeah. However, I did not get that feeling.
However, John?
However, from what I've read, Amazon has sold at most 15 million of these Echo devices.
Sure, but every
quarter, Apple sells 45 million iPhones, except the holiday quarter where they sell 70 million. Mm-hmm. So Apple has all these iOS devices out there, probably, 500-600 million iPhones in the field.
And I still can't talk to my home from an Apple product.
Well, you know, the question I brought up a couple times in print is this something that Apple needs to do? Is this an overwhelming technological imperative?
Yes,
I think if Apple wants to compete in voice control, it's an imperative.
No, I think if Apple wants to compete with smart homes.
What fraction of the people need a smartphone? 90%, right? Starting when you're maybe, depending on your parents, 9 or 10, all the way up. What fraction of the people need to be able to talk to their house and have the technology in place to do that? 1%?
Based on what's happening at CES, it's a lot more than 1%.
I doubt it.
And look at where the A-Lady platform is showing up. It's more than just Echo. it's, I mean, practically every product I was looking at had support from thermostats to speaker systems, to televisions.
There's a reason for that.
Refrigerators. Go ahead.
I'm quoting Ben Bajarin of Tech.Pinions here, who wrote a brilliant article about what's going on. And he said, the critical point here, I'm quoting Ben, the critical point here is how consumer electronics vendors need platform partners. The question at hand is whether or not that platform partner can or will be Apple. As of now, the answer is no. One has to ask, does Apple have the technological capability, the engineering ability, and the executive will to compete in this area? Evidently, they do not wish to compete in the way everybody else is competing, either because they have concerns about the longevity of the technology, its viability, the security of the situation, how Apple's vision of the future pans out and plays with this. I mean, what? It's one thing to say Apple's not competing and they're getting their butts handed to them. It's another thing to ask why Apple doesn't feel like they need to be all over this and competing toe to toe. One has to think about these things.
Here's one reason why I say that Apple's getting its butt kicked here is because we've been told very specifically that Apple wants to be where we live our lives. Now, we live our lives in our homes.
Homes, cars, and health. Those are the three big areas.
And Apple has HomeKit. And the thing is this, is that smart homes, only part of having a smart home. And, you know, I say that we're certainly in the early ages of quote unquote smart homes, mm-hmm. but only one part of having a smart home is being able to control that smart home from an app. What we're finding increasingly is that people want to use their voices to do so. And what we're finding increasingly, I believe that the evidence is obvious and in our faces, that people want to do so by speaking into the air and not speaking into their devices.
Well, I can understand that, and I'm with you in some respects on that. But the question is, in my mind, remains, why doesn't Apple see things that way, and why have they chosen not to compete so energetically that we acknowledge that they're in the game? Why is that happening?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, John, I would love for you to actually write about that. I mean, you've kind of approached this heretofore from more of the standpoint that you know, Apple simply isn't competing. And you know, the Apple clearly doesn't. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But I would love to see you explore the question of why. Now that we're acknowledging the fact that Apple is leaving this space completely, exceeding this space in all ways, why is that?
I can give you one answer off the cuff. I'll cogitate further for an article, but one of the things Apple likes to do is control the ecosystem. And like the television industry, where they're having a similar problem, Apple doesn't play well in an industry where there are lots of players, loose standards, competing forces, and lack of control over the situation.
But, you know, it's interesting you say that, John, because Amazon has provided the blueprint here. You know, the HomePod is one step. No, actually, the HomePod is a quarter of one step because it's aimed more at music than it is in actually controlling ourselves. There's so many things that the HomePod has announced so far that we know won't do. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't truly do that. The Amazon, what's the base station, the main base station called?
Echo.
The Echo. It doesn't do what everything that the main Echo does in terms of automation. But then the other element to that is having the cheap dot like device that we can just put places or allow, you know, to develop the technology for, more people, more companies to put microphones into their devices that will interact with HomeKit, right? I mean, the template is there.
Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating to me that Apple is seemingly just stepping back and not competing in this space.
But we know Apple is connected. I mean, we've seen over the last decade, especially with the evolution of the smartphone, how well connected Apple is to the technology and the mentality of mobility. Apple got way out in front of everybody else on mobile life.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're pretty astute, and so it's hard to claim from a distance that Apple's being incompetent about their handling of this competitive aspect of their business.
I don't know if incompetent's the right word, because we don't know enough about Apple's plans.
I know, yeah.
But it certainly is perplexing.
Jeff, I know you. I know that you want
to. It's like you can read my mind.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I can, or even your messages. But I got to say this. The reason why this sticks in my craw so much is that the evidence of what Apple is doing does not match the evidence about what Apple says it wants to do. And that's this whole notion of being at the center of where we live our lives.
Yep.
That right now is being defined by voice control in the air, not our devices. That is being defined as we speak. And so it's that incongruity between what Apple is doing and what Apple says it ostensibly wants to do that's why it's bothering me so much.
That's not a unique situation. Remember when Phil Schiller said education is in our DNA? And you would say, oh my, Apple's going to be all over education. They're going to be the winner. They're going to just take the education world by storm. Nope.
All right. So, yes, we're way over time. So I need to wrap us up, even though I would love to just keep talking. But we really have to go. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, good stuff. You're welcome.
It was a great conversation. And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely. I'm glad we could finally bring John into the, you know, acknowledgement phase. That's,
you know,
this, because now I can't wait. I can't wait for his analysis on that's going to come out of this. It's going to be good.
It's as if Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote about John with this whole.
Well, I did address it in Particle Debris on Friday. So there's that.
I'll make sure there's a link to that in today's show notes. All right. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.